John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is to come after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. And that is what we are working towards in this Advent season, that sense of peace, the fullness of our life in union with God as it is caught up in the incarnation, the birth of Christ. And peace really is when we have that sense that we are in union with God. It's like that incredible exhale that allows us to know that everything is okay. But there's something deeper than just peace that our sacred scriptures focuses on today. It focuses on a moment of surreality, a surreal moment. It's deeper than a peace. It's when the promises of the past and the hope of what only can be in the future converge at a very moment in our time. And that it is when we can't even express it, it is a cacophony of emotions. It seems miraculous. It seems intangible to whatever else we've ever known. That's what a surreal moment is. We know this sometimes in sports when we see that underdog accomplish great things. You know, the promise, if he works hard or she works hard, and then the hope that someday it's going to pay off in a big way. I mean, we're kind of feeling that groundswell right now, right? With Doc Hodges. He's that kind of situation that, could you imagine if we won the Super Bowl with him? It would be a surreal moment. It would be something greater than a sense of accomplishment. It would be what the promise of the past and the future hope would converge at that moment. So what's that look like in the spiritual life? What does that moment of surreality look like for us who are in this Advent journey? I think our first hint comes from the prophet Isaiah. In our first reading, we know the promise of the people of Israel was a great kingdom, but now it's been destroyed. In essence, it is nothing but a stump of what it was. But Isaiah says, no, that promise is still valid, because from that stump, a new sprout will come. And it will spring forth, and he will be clothed in the Holy Spirit. He will have the gifts of knowledge, understanding, and counsel. He will bring the wisdom and courage and all wonder of God, because he will be God. And that hope was the people of Israel, that that day would come. And then it did, in the form of John the Baptist. When we look at John the Baptist, we can misunderstand him. He was not a whack job who was crazy man eating locusts and honey. No, those who would have seen this man and listened to him preach, seeing him in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, they would have known immediately, aha, he is dressed like the prophet Isaiah. He is reminding us of what the promise was of the past, and now what we hoped in the future is here in this one. He is asking us to prepare the way. That's why they were coming from all over Judea to be baptized in the water of repentance, because they wanted that peace. They wanted that fullness of life and union with God. But for many of them, it was a surreal moment. We've been waiting for this, and now it has happened. In the first 2 weeks of the Advent season, the church asks us to prepare for those surreal moments of our lives. The first is in the Nativity. I mean, come on, think about it. God takes on flesh. He becomes like us. He's born of a woman in the most humble situation. Why? Because it is in that moment that the promises of the past and the hope of this kingdom diverges. It is a time that you and I should not just simply have a sense of peace on earth, but a surreal moment that we're entering into something that only happened one time, the greatest event in the history of man. But the church is awesome because she is not going to stop and ask us just to pause for that moment, because in essence, that moment of surreality is only the beginning. That becomes really the promise of what we're really hoping for in through Jesus Christ. Jesus' promises in his words, in his healing, his death on the cross, right? Those are the promises that he shows that he will make us whole again because of his resurrection, that we will share in the fullness of life. So the next great moment of surreality for us is knowing that what Jesus promised through our baptism, in the moment, in the hour of our death, he will raise us up to be in that resurrection, to be in that kingdom. So what we celebrate at Christmas, that moment of surreality of God's love for us, that should be what we're ready to do in the hour of our death. That not should we only have peace, but we should have that sense of being overwhelmed with what we lived and was promised is now happening. Our senses will not be able to fathom it. Our joy will be overwhelmed with the experience of God's love. St. Paul tells us in the second reading, this is what it's all about. He tells the Romans, you know, remember what was written in the scriptures, Paul said. What was written in the past, that promise, that's for you and I to take courage in, because it will become our hope. And then we hope in that together, living in harmony, so that what we celebrate beautifully together in Christ is what we will celebrate forever in heaven. So what should be our mission this week as we enter into the second week of the Advent season? It is to desire first that deep exhale, that peace that comes with being in union with God. Do everything you can in this Advent season to bring yourself in union with him, but to prepare well for Christmas. Don't allow anything else to distract you. That moment he was born in time is a moment of surreality, a moment we can step outside of ourselves in awe and wonder of God. But also to pray that when our hour of death comes, it's not something that we fear or something that is unknown to us. It will become the ultimate fulfillment of his love and his promise in the resurrection. So when you come forward to receive Holy Communion this morning, come forward as if you had never received him before. Realize what a surreal moment it is. Think of it. At the Last Supper, Jesus promised that this bread and this wine will become my body and blood, and we hoped in it. And after his resurrection, he allowed it to happen in and through his church. So when you approach the receive, realize you're in that surreal moment. It's when the promise of the past and the hope of what is the future happens right now. And when you receive him, ask him for those gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you may produce the fruit that shows your true repentance, that you will be a part of the new root of the kingdom of God. And I promise I would. You know, I alluded to Doc Hodges in my homily, and certainly it would be overwhelming if they could pull that off and win the Super Bowl. In fact, hard to ever pray for things like that, but, you know, I'm praying for that. Not for me, you know, because I really don't care who wins. But if you were to ask Hodges about his surreal moment, he wouldn't be talking about this football season. He'd tell you about when he was a senior in high school and he was invited to the sacred mass with a friend, and he experienced the real presence of the Lord there. And he said that if that bread and wine is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I have to have it. And from Alabama, became a Catholic. That was his surreal moment. So we take serious some of this football stuff. It's just a lot of fun. It doesn't matter next year. Everybody's in first place again. But if you see how he acts in response to what's happening to him, it's no big deal, because the big deal had already happened to him and for him. Do the same.